following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to your weekly soccer deep dive covering Europe and beyond, where I'll offer you insightful and memorable content. I'm your host, DJ Pa, and this is Off the Pitch. Welcome back to another episode of Off the Pitch. I'm your host, DJ Pa. And today we're going to be breaking down Premier League Match Week 8, as well as previewing the Champions League that's going to be happening on October 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Let's get started. So on Match Week 8 of the Premier League, there were 7 matches on Saturday, 2 matches on Sunday, and 1 match on Monday, where Crystal Palace played Nottingham Forest. So currently, at the top of the table is Liverpool, sitting with 21 points, 7 wins and a loss. Below them is Man City with 20 points. Arsenal, Aston Villa tied for third with 17 points. And in fifth is Brighton. Sixth is Chelsea. So let's get started talking about the Sunday games. So on Sunday, Liverpool played Chelsea, where the new manager, Arne Slot, had his first challenge. In the 29th minute, they got a handball, which turned into a penalty, as Curtis Jones fired into the box and it hit Levi Colwill in the arm. Salah stepped up to the penalty spot and sent the keeper the wrong way. In the second half, in the 48th minute, after it being initially ruled offside, Nicholas Jackson takes on a through ball with no defender in sight, and he calmly slots one to the bottom corner, beating Kelleher at the near post. In the 51st minute, shortly after, Curtis Jones is assisted by a beautiful cross from Salah. Chelsea's back line is very stagnant as Jones runs in, where he takes a touch and he has all day to put it past the keeper in close range. If you watch the game closely, you could see that Curtis Jones and Gravenberch were completely dominated in the midfield. Despite not winning the possession battle and having less passes than Chelsea, they clearly were in control of the whole game. However, one bad thing is Diego Jota left the game with an injury, and Alisson is still injured from international break, which would be really needed going forward. Man City won 2-1 against 20th place Wolves with the last minute winner. So City again play another match without their two best players, Rodri and De Bruyne. And Wolves had a clear system where they attempted to play wide and fast, where they had 3 men in the back. They had wingbacks and wingers. To start the game, there was a lovely cross from Nelson Semedo in the 7th minute to open up Stellan Larsson for a tap-in that gave them the early lead. After that, Wolves started defending with 11 players and tried to limit Haaland to a few touches. At the end of the game, he only had 13, which took him out of the game, where he had no chances to score or create. In the 33rd minute, as City worked the ball around the box of the Wolves, with 10 defenders around, Gvardiol puts it onto his right foot and smashes it into the top right corner. The goalie got a piece of the ball, but it still went in the back of the net. He definitely sent a message with that rocket, as he just took it upon himself to put a score on the board for Man City. In the 95th minute in stoppage time, City have a corner. It's driven into John Stones' head, who beats the keeper at the far post. Initially, there was an offside scare in the build-up of the goal, but City luckily gained 3 points as the goal stands. For the Saturday games, Arsenal lose 2-0 to Bournemouth after Saliba gets a red card early in the half. How that happened was, in the 30th minute, Trossard played a ball back to his own side, where Ivan Lissin of Bournemouth was lurking behind the line, and as he's approaching the ball, he is tackled from behind by William Saliba. Initially, it was ruled only a yellow, but the card turned to red after the referee checked with VAR. For the rest of the match, Arsenal had to play with 10 men, and they were trailing when in the 70th minute, Ryan Christie cleans up a low corner after he smashes one into the left corner with his left foot. In the 79th minute, Bournemouth are granted a penalty, where Justin Kluivert sends David Raya the wrong way to seal the deal. So, for the next match, They will not have Saliba due to suspension. They won't have Saka or Odegaard due to injury. And where they're going to be playing the first place Liverpool next week. So as a team that's trying to compete for the title this year, Arsenal chose a terrible time to drop points and lose three of their key players. Arsenal definitely played with a clear sense of fear as they let Bournemouth control the possession and lurk all over the side of the pitch. After that red card, it was clear that Arsenal made a business decision that they were not going to win. Aston Villa rallied back 3-1 over Fulham. In the fifth minute, Fulham's keeper sends a monster through ball, where he sends it over the top to Raul Jimenez, as Jimenez calmly just slots one into the bottom net. Here you can see that Raul Jimenez is in great form, and he has all the confidence in the world to take his time and beat one of the best keepers in the world, Dibu Martinez, at his near post. In the ninth minute, however, Villa quickly equalized as Rodgers smashes one into the net from outside the box. From there, in the 59th minute, Watkins smashes a header off an assist from Tielemans on a corner. And to seal the deal, Issa Diop scores an own goal, and Villa sneak away with the win. Man U played Brentford, where they got a much-needed 2-1 victory. So for the first goal of the game, unfortunately, De Ligt gets a head injury where he was bleeding from his head, and Brentford take advantage and strike first with a header from Pinnock in stoppage time of the first half. You could definitely see on the sidelines, De Ligt was not happy with how that went down. He was not happy that he was not allowed to be in the play because of his injury. And as he was waiting outside to be cleared, that's when Brentford scored and took the lead. This sent the Man U players into a very mad state, a very angry state, where they were motivated to get this win. In the 47th minute, Rashford sent a deep whip cross to Garnacho, who volleys a rocket across his body into the back of the net. In the 62nd minute, it was a great play. Eriksen hits Bruno at the edge of the box, who's facing away from the goal. He flicks a through ball, no look, behind to Højlund. Højlund then takes it on with his left and chips it away from the goalie. I really encourage you guys to search up this play, as it's a work of art. Just some beautiful passing and great fakes. This momentum, I'm sure, is going to carry over to the next week, where Man U aim to win against West Ham, who had a terrible game against Tottenham. So let's get into the Champions League Match Day 3 that's going to be happening on October 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. So for the first match of Match Day 3 that's going to be taking place on Tuesday, it's going to be Milan versus Club Brugge. This game is going to be played in Milan at the San Siro. And Milan are coming off two tough losses from Leverkusen, who beat them 1-0, and Liverpool, who took care of them 3-1. I will give them credit, though. Those are very two tough opponents. Liverpool is currently sitting in the first place in the Premier League, and Leverkusen just came off a season where they only lost one game. Milan have something to prove, however. They've lost 9 out of their last 11 group stage matches. So it's going to be a real test to see if they can beat this Club Brugge side, who's very underrated and not very talked about when it comes to their chances at winning Champions League matches or even advancing to the next round. Brugge have a win and a loss, and they're definitely the underdogs in this Champions League match. What I will say is they definitely took care of their business in the last match where they won, and they've also lost one, but they have a big chance of coming into this away crowd with lots of passion and lots of fans that are crazy and just want to see their team win. But they've seen worse. They've been through the worst, where they had to play Madrid and all the other top teams. One player to look forward to is definitely Christian Pulisic. He came back from international break early to prepare for this club. In his last 9 matches for club, he's had 9 goal contributions with 6 goals and 3 assists. Pulisic really just leads by example in this club. While he might be American in an Italian club, he's definitely respected by all these other teams in the Champions League. In our next match, Madrid versus Dortmund, This is going to be a Champions League final rematch played at the Santiago Bernabeu. As I mentioned in the last episode, Dortmund seek revenge against Madrid, who beat them last year in the Champions League final 2-0. Real Madrid come off a loss that is 1-0 to Lille that broke their 36-game unbeaten streak and 14-game victory streak in the Champions League. So, just by these facts alone, Madrid is somehow the underdog in this game, where they are trying to prove themselves and get themselves back up to the top of the table and prepare themselves for the next round and not waste any time with Dortmund. But Dortmund are first place right now of all the Champions League with the highest goal differential. And they just came off their biggest win, which was a 7-1 win against Celtic. This is huge because with this momentum, they can easily come into an away crowd and kind of just take the momentum. If Madrid aren't playing their best, they're going to take care of their business. But I really expect a good game. I really expect a competitive game with great midfield play, lots of passing, and just very technical in general. The main thing I will say is I'm going to see a lot of defense. I'm going to see a lot of passion from Rudiger and Hummels of Dortmund. I just want to see a good match, clean match, with lots of intensity and physicality. So Adeyemi, the left winger for Dortmund, is coming off a hat trick. He's 22 years old and has 5 goals and 5 assists in 8 games this season. A man to watch also is Seru Girasai, who is a 28-year-old international from Guinea. He has made a flying start in this Champions League and in Dortmund in general. So he has 12 goals in his last 8 games for his club and country. The biggest player with something to prove, however, it has to be Mbappe. After last match, where he was clearly seen jogging back to defense against Lille, it's time for him to prove something on a big stage. In his last 5 games at home for his new club, he's had 5 goals. This is pretty impressive. Considering that they're going to play at home this game, I expect him to score in this game. In another game, we're going to have Brest versus Leverkusen. And both of these teams are tied with 6 points, with an equal goal differential of 5. So Leverkusen have yet to allow a goal, and have won 4-0 against a good Feyenoord side, and 1-0 against Milan. Brest have won, however, against Sturm Graz 2-1 and 4-0 against Salzburg. They finished 3rd in League 1 last season, and look to keep their undefeated streak alive. Their top scorer has 3 goals so far in the Champions League. Brest are going to be at home, but their home is too small for the Champions League with only 5,000 seats, so they're going to be playing at a League 2 stadium that holds 19,000 people that is 70 miles east of their stadium. I'm looking forward to see Xabi Alonso ball, with Leverkusen having the firepower to end this game by halftime. Wirtz has 6 goals and 2 assists in his 9 league and Champions League matches, and Victor Boniface has 5 goals and 7 league matches. Let's talk about Barcelona versus Bayern Munich. Bayern have lost their 41-game unbeaten streak after a loss of Aston Villa. They lost 1-0 with many mistakes from key players. However, they've won their last 6 matches against Barca and Madrid. Barca are going to be playing with their backup goalie, Peña, and a 17-year-old defender, Cubarsí, while Araujo, their best center back, is still injured. They're going to be relying, however, a lot on their attacking play to put them up and not have to worry about any defense. Lewandowski, their striker, has 14 goals in 12 La Liga and Champions League matches. He's going to be going against his old side with lots of nerves, with a tough Bayern defense. I expect Lamine Yamal and Rafinha to have a chance to set him up with lots of crosses and shot attempts. However, on the other side, you have Harry Kane, who has 12 goals in 9 matches, 4 assists in 7 league matches. He's a top scorer in both the Bundesliga and the Champions League. They also have Kimmich and Musiala to set him up, as they have both 2 assists each in the Champions League matches that they've played so far. That's going to be all for this episode of Off the Pitch. I hope you guys enjoyed, and make sure you stay tuned with the Champions League matches that are happening in October 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. This is your host, DJ Pa. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you guys next week.